Louise McSharry.
Weekends from 9
on 2FM.
Now, though, it is time for us to talk about pop culture because it is Sunday and that's what we do on Sundays. And I just am so happy about it. Did I expect to be talking about tadpoles? No, I did not. But Cassie Delaney, podcast mistress.
Hi.
That is exactly what we're going to talk about. Why are we talking about tadpoles?
So this girl, this Irish girl, has gained international stardom.
Half a million
followers,
TikTok followers.
For raising 37,000 tadpoles in her garden. Now, very entertaining, very wholesome content. It is beautiful. It's educational. We're learning a lot about President Nugget, who was kind of our chief tadpole, as they, you know, evolve into frogs. But 37,000 of them seems like a mistake.
Let's have a listen to some of this content just so you can get a feel for it.
Day 79. Hi guys. So as you know, the water was super dirty and today I was giving it a clean. I used an old hose pipe to siphon out some water. Some tadpoles did come up the hose. However, I had a net to make sure I could catch them and add
like,
them back into the pool.
This is what we're talking about.
Yeah. No, it's
half a million people.
It's exactly what it says on the tin. It is just learning about tadpoles, watching them grow into frogs, hearing her explain the process, watching her siphon dirty water out of the pool. Like, it shouldn't. It shouldn't work, but it does.
Okay, I'm sorry. I cannot engage with this.
What?
Because they look disgusting.
They are disgusting. And on a personal note, friends of mine did this on our road when we were younger. They went down to Bushy Park, got a bucket of tadpoles, and it was a big, big mistake. There were frogs
everywhere.
Yeah. And I still to this day, I hate frogs. Do not like them. They're slippery, slimy.
But
it's
even
gross.
Like, I was watching her this morning and like she had a tadpole that was sprouting arms and legs.
Yeah.
And like, it's not, it's gross. I'm
and
just going to say
some,
it's
there
gross.
Were some really gross facts as well she shared that they kind of like burst out of this sort of membrane covering they have. Like, I'm picturing so much slime.
Oh,
it's disgusting. But like, I mean,
good for her, obviously.
Half a million followers. But who's going to sponsor that content? Like, are there tadpole related products that can get involved and give this girl a, you know, a massive career boost?
But what is going to happen to the frogs?
Well, they're just going to sprout their legs and they're going to go their own way. But like, you will come across them. I wouldn't be surprised if we all just start coming across these tadpoles.
Imagine you lived down the road from her in Clanabogan in County Tyrone. And you were like, you knew that there was a frogpocalypse coming.
Yeah, I would
and
move.
Like,
I would move. I just have like a ring of fire around the house protecting the property. It is not good. They pop out of everything. Like, they're going to be out of the bushes, under your car. Oh my God, absolutely everywhere. It's disgusting, but fair play to her. And maybe it's just kind of that wholesome content that we've all come to enjoy. It's the natural evolution from bread making, isn't it?
Look,
just watching things evolve.
100%. And look, I'm not getting down on Hannah at all. Fair play to you, Hannah. You've obviously got great initiative and a real interest in nature. I have nothing but respect for that. It's just not an interest I personally have.
I mean,
I am just one person, but half a million people disagree with me.
And I do. I follow her. She's one of 12 accounts that I follow on TikTok. I'm one of those kind of silent TikTok watchers where I'm too ashamed to admit that I'm on it and post anything, but I watch things. I do follow her. I really support her. But I think for her next project, maybe she should grow like wildflowers or something. Like, we'll happily watch the evolution of that. I just do not want to see the frogs bursting through that slimy membrane.
To each his own, you know. As I said, half a million people, they're not wrong. They just have different preferences to us.
Exactly.
And that is absolutely fine. Okay, fair play to you, Hannah. Now, let's move on because I, for one, am absolutely delighted at the news that Big Brother is somewhat returning to our screens.
Yes. Yes. Big Brother has given us the greatest pop culture moments of all time over the last 20 years. First of all, can you believe it's 20 years since Big Brother started?
Well, I can because I was very, very, I was like, well, I was barely born, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Me, yeah, same. We're just watching it there, drinking our boppies.
But I can't believe it because even when you think, when I think about how it all looked when it first started, and also, so there's a few things that make me believe it's been 20 years. One, my parents watched it. Season one, we all watched it because it was a psychological experiment and we all, that's what we all told ourselves. Two reasonable people were on it in season one.
Yeah,
so you know it was a long time ago. Very
normal.
Very normal.
Like, isn't Craig a builder now on the TV?
Yeah.
Like, he did well.
Anna Nolan.
Yeah, just regular, normal Joe soaps. Yeah.
Who were interested in psychology. Mm-hmm. And then obviously it transformed completely. So it took some time to take that journey.
It took some time. As things often do, it became more and more extreme as the years went on. Obviously the introduction of Celebrity Big Brother, and we got to see celebrities in their natural habitat for the first time and seeing how they behave when, you know, left alone or locked in confinement. I think, though, we can all really relate to Big Brother of late, having spent so much time in isolation.
Yeah. Just speaking of celebs, I mean, when you think of Celebrity Big Brother, I think a lot of people think of one person and one person alone.
Gemma must line up by the door immediately.
No, I don't want to play any more games. Gamed out. I've had enough of playing games. Hell.
It's like having a job working 24/7 for 2 days on the trot.
It's like having a job working 24/7 for 2 days on a trot. Poor Gemma, God love her. Gemma Collins.
I just love Gemma Collins.
Like, the thing is, we knew Gemma, but Big Brother gives you a way to know these people so differently, and also because you get all of these moments recorded, then of course they become memes. And
and like Big Brother had kind of, we had the highlight show every night, the big show on the Friday, but then also like just the ever playing loop on our TVs as well. Like, you could not hide from the camera. It was impossible to keep up a persona. So these celebrities, and even, well, these celebrities, we definitely got to see another side of them because they just couldn't hide anymore. They could not keep that up. And then normal people, we were just seeing them in like their everyday realness, and it was so entertaining.
Yeah, seeing things like, I mean, seeing their relationships develop, but like, you know, remember the love affairs, like Stewie and Michelle, like seeing those things happen, Ziggy and Chanel, like, you know, they dressed like Posh and Becks.
It was Mario and Lisa got engaged in the house.
Yes! Like, the humanity of it all. And then also, I always really enjoyed watching their appearances change as they got, because they all sunbathed so much. Not a good idea, skin cancer, etc. But they would, like, you know, develop these really deep tans. Their hair would go bonkers. You're right. It is exactly like what's going on here.
And then you're fighting. The fights would be over something so nominal, like who had the last bowl of rice and like when they were going to get fed again, and like hair in the drain. I was like, we are the same. This is beautiful. It's wonderful. But I think we cannot talk about Big Brother without talking about the greatest TV moment of all time, was when Tiffany Pollard believed that David Guest had died in the house.
How could I forget this? I forgot to get this clip. You are so right.
It is just so pure. So Angie Bowie was in the house, and she got the news that David Bowie had sadly passed away. So she came out of the diary room, turned around to Tiffany and was like, David's dead. David Guest was in the house. Tiffany Pollard didn't have any more information other than David's dead. And she freaked out, running around the house, telling everyone that David had died. And they all go on this expedition into the bedroom to find David, who happened to be sleeping, and see if he was alive or dead.
And the thing is, he was sleeping because he was sick. So like, it all kind of very neatly kind of played into each other.
But also, Angie had stepped away from telling Tiffany. She just left her. So Tiffany went around, gathered everyone else, and then the news came back to Angie that David Guest had also died.
It's just, you could, I mean, you could not make it up.
No, it was just so, so pure.
But anyway, the reason that we're talking about it is because it's back, kind of, isn't it?
Yeah, so they're giving us the kind of best bits. So they're going to go through the last 20 years and give us the highlights, the iconic moments. Expect to see a lot of Nikki Graham. I cannot wait.
Oh.
I hate her, I tell you now. I'm going to find it very difficult to be pleasant to it for the rest of this week, I'm afraid. I don't even want to look at it. Who is she? Who is she? Who is she? Where did you find her?
Oh, truly iconic. When is it on?
It starts tonight on Channel 4, I think at 9 p.m.
And presented by Davina.
Davina's back again, of course.
And Rylan, who...
Excellent.
I would watch anything Rylan did.
Yeah, Rylan did do Celebrity Big Brother a couple of years ago, and again, is just a national star because of it. We love him so, so much.
We are truly living in blessed televisual times. Okay, well, we've got lots more to talk about. We are going to be talking about what went down in the world of Bon Appetit this week. It is a lot. We have to talk about Nigel Farage, but it's not bad news, guys. And we're going to be continuing on what we discussed last week, about Jacob JK Rowling. Harry, Hermione and Ron have had something to say, so stick around. That's the 1975. If you're too shy, let me know. I am with Cassie Delaney, podcast mistress extraordinaire. She is at the helm of the Tall Tales Podcast Network. And today she is our guide in popular culture.
Hi.
And
hi.
So we need to talk about Bon Appetit.
Is the bubble burst?
So that's first of all, explain, because I like was vaguely aware Bon Appetit was a food magazine. And then in the last year, it had this big moment. So let's start there.
Okay, right. So Bon Appetit is YouTube. It is the, like, it's just the biggest food channel you can imagine because of the success of this program that they have called Gourmet Makes, where one of their test kitchen staff, a chef called Claire Saffitz, tries to recreate your favorite sweets and chocolate bars and other things that you would have had from your childhood, and she makes them gourmet. But it is so entertaining to watch because she hates it. She absolutely hates it. So that was the kind of the thing that brought BA or Bon Appetit into everyone's lives. But then we've since fallen in love with the rest of the Test Kitchen staff. So there's like Andy, Gabby, Sola, just loads of these characters, Molly, like they're like your friends. They're part and parcel of everyone's lives. They are so influential and they have this cult following. There's hashtags all over Twitter called I would die for Claire Saffitz from the Bon Appetit Test Kitchen. Like, you cannot turn on the internet now without seeing something to do with Bon Appetit and the Test Kitchen. So they're massive, huge. Everyone loves them. But this week there was a photo surfaced of the kind of chief editor, Adam Rapoport. His name is spelled really weird.
Rapoport. Yeah.
So a photo emerged of him from 2013 in an inappropriate costume where he was basically referencing Puerto Rican culture, and it was offensive.
In a negative way. Yeah.
In a negative way. Totally. In a negative way. So that photo surfaced. And then after that, kind of Test Kitchen staff and also other Condé Nast employees, because it's part of the Condé Nast group, other Condé Nast employees started speaking out about the culture in Bon Appetit and how it is completely unequal. And there was a lot of revelations about pay, in particular the fact that one of the Test Kitchen staff, Sola, does not get paid for her video appearances. And then it came to light that kind of it's only the white staff that have been paid for appearing on camera, which is their, you know, the driver of success for them. So it is completely and utterly unfair. The disparity between the pay is absolutely appalling. So a lot of the Test Kitchen staff came out then and said that they would not film any more videos until something was done. They all individually released statements, which, you know, some were good, some were not. So Adam has stepped back and stepped down from his role of senior editor or chief editor.
Editor-in-chief, yeah. And they've made a big commitment, haven't they, to kind of diversify their content, because I saw there was a freelance journalist who kind of she was writing, I think, about Puerto Rican food. It was Puerto Rican specifically. And she was saying she'd found it really hard to get commissioned. And, you know, that Bon Appetit kind of touched on other cultures' food, but appropriated it rather than incorporating it properly.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we do, I mean, obviously with recipes, it's interesting because you have these kind of, these are all professional chefs who have worked or lived and engaged with food cultures and are kind of adapting recipes. You know, food particularly lends itself to fusion. So, but there were a lot of, I suppose, times where they could have found more appropriate chefs to deal with recipes. So they've acknowledged that now. They are kind of moving towards change. Again, with a lot of these statements, there's been no sort of affirmative action or plan. It's a lot of we're stepping down because we need to do better, which is good. But like, I think people are crying out for sort of affirmative action because it's happened across the board in media.
Yeah.
The last week, like, we had a statement from Refinery 29 about their culture. Leandra has stepped down from Man Repeller over the same kind of things. So, you know, the media needs to do a lot better.
Yeah.
And they need to have actual plans. But in terms of Bon Appetit, I think that the bubble is kind of burst, not just because of the sort of revelations about the culture, but also the revelations about the pay just make it seem so disingenuous.
Dark.
Now. Yeah. And it's, you know, there was kind of rumors that Claire was being paid up to 20K a video, and you're watching her hate something and you're like, girl, you should love that for 20k. I would love it. I would love it for half that. Like, you know, you can't, it just, it doesn't seem authentic now to see someone kind of like complaining on video, deep moaning, sighing, giving out about the process of it, and to be compensated so highly for it and compensated so much greater than everyone else, and let alone her kind of colleagues of colour.
Yeah, because there was a, I saw a quick, I actually haven't really watched the Bon Appetit videos somehow. I seem to be the only one. But there, I saw on Twitter this week, there was someone had cut together all of the instances of people in Bon Appetit videos turning to
Sola,
and asking her questions.
Oh, like, she is by far the most educated, the most experienced, like, chef. And it's kind of this joke that Claire, this one who's paid loads and does gourmet makes, can't temper chocolate, which is just making chocolate shiny, and will turn to Sola. And it's always, if it's done well, everyone's like, oh, Sola did it.
But she wasn't getting paid.
She wasn't getting paid. So, and she kind of, she released her own statement, said that she was being paid $50,000 a year at the age of 35, given all her experience, et cetera, et cetera. And when she asked for more money, she was told that it was not there.
Yeah.
Then there was assistants also told the same thing. And the thing about it is, like, they're working in Manhattan. That, I know it sounds like a lot of money. It translated, I think, at about 48,000 euro. It's not a livable wage in Manhattan.
No.
You know, definitely not.
And also, they're living in Manhattan where they would have access to so many different cultures and so many talented journalists and so many talented chefs. There's no excuse for it, really. It'll be really interesting to see, as you say, these various publications and indeed businesses and brands put their money where their mouth is in terms of the statements that
made. I can't wait to see it. I think, you know, media needs to reflect society. We operate as a mirror to society, so that has to get better.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, here while we're talking about this, like, that's something that I'm working on personally in terms of this program. And, you know, it was something I was very conscious of when we started the program in January, but we need to work harder. I mean, that's just the truth. And, you know, I can't have this conversation without acknowledging that about ourselves. Okay, let's move on. Nigel Farage.
Bye bye, Nigel Farage. So, God love him. His radio show is gone. So he'd been presenting a weekday radio show for the last 3 years on LBC Radio?
Yeah.
And just gone there on Wednesday. He ended the show. I think this is awful. He ended the show by saying, I'll be back tomorrow at 6. And then they released a statement being essentially, Nigel will not be back tomorrow at 6.
Well, the thing is, that's often how it goes in radio. Mm. Like, I previously lost my job as a presenter of a radio show, and I just had to finish the pro. I had to do my last program knowing it was my last program, but I had been told I couldn't say it.
So I had to
finish it. Off I went.
Cruel.
And then when the listeners turned on their radio on the Monday, I just wasn't there.
What a weird system to have in place.
I know. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me personally, but that is how it often
goes. Just blink twice if this is your last show.
Exactly.
Oh, it's so weird. So yeah, he's gone off the air. Thankfully, there's no space for this kind of... He tried to create a radio show that was essentially an alt-right American US style show giving voice to very, very, very conservative thought, and he got cancelled.
Let's have a little listen. It was this kind of behavior as well, I'm sure, which did him no favors.
The organization Black Lives Matter is a far left Marxist organization that whose chief aim is to defund and close down police forces, so that we would live under
anarchy. Oh, you're full of such utter nonsense, Nigel Farage. I understand that you're struggling to be relevant. But let me tell you something. The only thing you're an expert on, Nigel Farage, the only thing you're an expert on right now is your backside, because every word out of your mouth stinks.
That was Nigel Farage being absolutely ripped apart on morning television last week in the UK. And now he no longer has a radio show. And soon we can forget his name entirely. Cassie, thank you so much. We're going to leave it there. Really appreciate that. Cassie Delaney of the Tall Tales Podcast Network. Really appreciate you being our pod cultural guide today. Pod cultural?
Pod cultural. It works.
You also guide us in pod culture. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you, Louise.
Have a great one.
Louise McSherry. Weekends from 9 on 2FM.